I'm Dana Lloyd. Welcome to Soul Sister Conversations, the podcast, where you will be inspired and empowered to connect more deeply with your authentic self as we explore topics of personal development, leadership, and spirituality. Your journey to your most authentic self starts right now. One of the things that I love about healing is that there are many avenues that we can choose to help us on our journey. And today I have Fawn Last on, who is a friend and an aromatherapist. Fawn has a very vast background in biology and geology and science, and she has been on before as a guest as a plant-based chef. So she has a lot of a connection to nature. She knows how to use it, and she loves to share that passion, and that's what she's doing today. And one of the things that she focuses on as an aromatherapist is trauma. And as a trauma survivor herself, she has been able to use aromatherapy to help her maneuver through processing her trauma. So she's going to share a little bit about that today and what you need to know about aromatherapy and misconceptions. So I always appreciate people come on and tell their authentic journey and share their passions. And today will be no different. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Fawn Last, welcome back to Soul Sister Conversations.
Well, thank you for having me back, Dana. It's always a pleasure to chat with you.
Oh, yeah. I love our chats because we have a wide spectrum of topics, but a lot of them are around healing, our passions. And you say that you love to cook with plants and you love to heal with plants. And the last time you and I spoke last summer, we were chatting about you being a plant-based chef and you like to how much you like to work in the kitchen. And today we're going to be talking about aromatherapy. And this is something I know a little about, but not a lot. And certainly having knowing you, I've learned more about it. So I think it's an interesting topic for people to know about and how we can use it in our lives to heal or to help ourselves. So for people who might not be familiar with it, what is aromatherapy?
So aromatherapy is a holistic therapy. It involves the use of plant extracts, including essential oils. There's more than just essential oils. There's hydrosols, which are kind of the byproduct of distillation. They're the waters that are left over. Now, sometimes hydrosols are made just for the hydrosols, and there's no essential oil extracted. But so hydrosols, essential oils, various butters, so cocoa butter, mango butter, that sort of thing, carrier oils, things like sesame oil and jojoba oil, and waxes like beeswax and that sort of thing. They're all involved in aromatherapy. So these are all used to help conditions of mind, body, and spirit. And I guess that's what I love about aromatherapy is it focuses on mind, body, and spirit. It's not just the reductionist view of looking at, you know, I've got an ache in my arm and you know, let's deal with that. It's kind of, why do you have an ache in your arm and what can we do? It's probably stressful that you have an ache in your arm. So let's work on all of that. Mm. So the extracts come from all different parts of the plants. So leaves, twigs, seeds, roots, flowers, woods, resins, and they're from trees, from grasses and other herbaceous plants too. So
I don't think I realize that. I'm thinking that when you get essential oils or these extracts that they're just from leaves, but they actually use the entire piece of the plant.
Well, they do, but specific oils are from specific parts of the plant. So eucalyptus, for example, they don't use the roots. They do use the leaves. Something like vetiver is the rootlets of a grass. And the parts of the plant also have to do with kind of what the oils do for you. So, for example, if you have something, eucalyptus, let's use eucalyptus as an example. It's leaves. And what do leaves do for the plant? Right? It's respiration takes place in the leaves. So plants, you know, leaves are really good to help support our respiration. And think of using eucalyptus when you're congested as an example. Roots are good for grounding. You think the plant has its roots in the ground. So the oils that are extracted from the roots, so vetiver is the example I'll use, are really good for grounding.
You are an aromatherapist, but you just didn't take a couple of courses recently. Like, you have a few science degrees in biology and geology. You have your master's, PhD. So you have a deep understanding of nature and how it works. And I like how you can make all these connections about how these plants can heal us. And I'm curious, how did you then get interested in aromatherapy in particular? And why was this of interest to you?
Well, it's interesting. I've always been kind of into aromatherapy, you know, off and on. When my son was little, he always had congestion. And so I would use eucalyptus, and I didn't use a diffuser. I'd actually didn't want, you know, I didn't want to overwhelm his little senses. So I had put it in a little dish with baking soda and water, and the oils kind of came out very slowly. So it would help him with his breathing and his congestion. But I really got into it when I lived in Texas and I was teaching. I got sick all the time. And, you know, the big joke in Texas is, you know, you get sick, you go to the doctor for a steroid shot and a Z-Pack, and the Z-Pack is the antibiotics. And I was getting so sick of doing that. And a friend down there actually introduced me to essential oils. And this was through, of course, a network marketing brand, which is, you know, the gateway for a lot of aromatherapists. We get into involved with one of those brands, and, you know, we end up saying, okay, well, there's more to learn, or, you know, maybe we shouldn't be doing things this way. Let's learn about it. So anyhow, that's what happened. I'm a lifelong learner and I'm curious about everything. So I got involved in this. I started using the oils. I had lots of questions. Then I said, okay, I'm going to sign up and I'm going to become a professional aromatherapist. So I signed up. I finished the program to be a certified professional aromatherapist. And now I'm working further to become a clinical aromatherapist.
And you have a particular area of interest, and that is on trauma. And why is that so important to you?
For me, it is because I am a trauma survivor myself, early childhood trauma. And it's something that I had things my whole life that I wanted to, I couldn't resolve. I was just, you know, I'd be cramming things down. I swear, you know, I was joking the other day saying I got a PhD because I didn't want to address these issues. I just had to focus on something and not deal with it. And I found, you know, talk therapy is not something that works for me. And I found essential oils. I couldn't sleep. I had insomnia for most of my life. And I found, you know, I created a blend. I sleep like a baby now. It's absolutely amazing how they have changed my life.
And was insomnia due to the trauma, do you think?
Oh, yes, it was. Yes, I would have nightmares and that sort of thing. A lot of it was, you know, my mind couldn't stop racing. I couldn't stop living in the past. I couldn't stop thinking about these things. And it really affects your life. And the thing with trauma, too, I actually wrote my paper on it for my aromatherapy course. The thing with trauma, a lot of people don't realize that they have it. And I did a course in trauma-informed aromatherapy, too. And it's something, you know, everything that she taught us, I was aware of because I had lived it. And you have to be aware as an aromatherapist, actually as any medical professional, I think, you have to be aware that people have experienced trauma and they may not even remember it. And there could be a trigger. So for me, for example, with aromatherapy, there are some oils, everybody loves lavender. And to this day, I can't figure out why lavender is a trigger for me, but it is. And I'm getting over it. I'm, you know, associating it with good memories and healing. So it's getting better. But for some people, we've got to really be aware that you don't know what's going to trigger. You don't know if they've been traumatized. And it's, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, a lifelong trauma. It could have been something small that happened when they were a child, or it could be something that happened at work, or it could be anything. And scent can be a trigger. So we have to be aware of that and just tread carefully. And this is why, as an aromatherapist, I have a really detailed health questionnaire for people before I sit down and chat with them. And one of the questions I ask is, are there aromas that you really, really don't like? Are there ones that you love? And are there ones that you absolutely hate? And I've had people say, you know, there's certain oils that make them feel angry or agitated, or oils that make them upset, and oils that really bother them. So then you know that you don't use those oils with those people and you find something else. Mm-hmm. And there's always a good replacement. There's always something that can be substituted. But it's really important to know that, because if it's something that's going to make it worse, you don't want to do that. You don't want to re-traumatize them or make them relive something they don't want to relive.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I like about you, in that you consider that for other people, because I've been exposed to essential oils before when I, or introduced to them, and things are presented as like everybody loves this, or this is good for everything. But if you can't stand the smell of it, like frankincense, for example, you know, it's known as the king of oils, I guess. Yeah. I can't stand it. And it's something that they used to, I'd say spray in the church, but at Easter they would have it in this like urn thing that they would
burning
swing.
The incense.
Yeah, burning incense. And I never loved incense, even when people did it in university. It's something about smells for me I don't love. But I like that you consider that, that instead of saying, no, frankincense, you must have this, that you work with the person to figure out some things that they can actually tolerate or like. Like you'll often say, do you like orange? Do you like this? Do you like?
Yeah.
And so I think that's a really big part of it. And just to circle back around to the trauma piece, when you're talking about how it helped you. So how does aromatherapy actually help trauma? Like, is it giving people new smells? You're doing associations. Like, how does it actually help heal or move you past the trauma? Or if it, or is that, am I describing it the right way?
No, I mean, I think trauma is something that you're always going to be working on, but it kind of helps. Now, the interesting thing about aromatherapy is aroma is directly linked to your limbic system. So when you breathe in an oil, you think of, so any aroma actually, whether it's a burger or a skunk or sweet orange oil, all that aroma is molecules. So all these little tiny microscopic molecules that you can't see. When you breathe that in, it goes into your nose and your nasal cavity, and think of it almost like there's some receptors there. Think of it as almost like flypaper, you know, that sticky flypaper.
Yes.
And they stick to that, and they go through the nerves and go directly to your brain. Those nerves are all connected into one and go to your limbic system. Now, your limbic system is, and your, that includes your hypothalamus. There's a few other structures in there. I won't get into any detail here, but so it goes right, and that part of your brain is the seat of your emotions, and it's the seat of your memory. So all your memories are there. It's the primitive brain sort of thing. It's also directly linked to the cortex of your brain. So it actually goes to the limbic system, but your sensory part of your brain, it goes directly to that as well. So think of an aroma that brings you a memory. Like maybe if you smell, you know, chocolate chip cookies or ginger or something, you think of your grandmother or, you know, so aroma is really linked to our memories and stuff. So that's how we can help with our emotions. So this is why we have to be careful with the trauma, because a smell can take you back to somewhere you don't want to go. But you can also, and there's been a little bit of work I was reading about where, you know, maybe you can reassociate those smells that traumatize you with happier, pleasant thoughts. Another way too, and without using memories and that sort of thing, is just simply things like getting sleep. People with trauma tend to have, sleep is one of the main problems they have. So getting a good night's sleep. So if we can use aromatherapy to calm and help them get a good night's sleep, maybe they can help better deal with the issues, with the trauma. There's even been some work where, this was with children, I read a paper where they're using aromatherapy to help them relax enough that they can talk about right. things.
Because we know the power of it for sure, as you had said, like, is so many of our memories are stored there. So if we have these really pleasing smells that allows us to relax, you can see then it allows you maybe to let the guard down or to let something shift or release that you can maybe address the thing that you need to address.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And there's oils too. Like we use them physically, you know, for aches and pains and headaches and all that stuff. And a lot of these issues that we have, you know, people who have been traumatized can have, you know, fibromyalgia type symptoms, you know, pain and frequent headaches and that sort of thing. And we can use aromatherapy to help support those issues too, to help deal with those issues. And, you know, the pleasing aromas can help people to relax, because when you're relaxed, you're more likely to heal, right? It's so much easier to heal when you're not stressed out.
I think it's maybe the only way you can heal is be able to put yourself in. Is it that parasympathetic state? Is that what it is?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes and complete sense. It's the best way to, you know, and I found, you know, there's oils too. So if you're angry, for example, and now, and this is only if you like ylang ylang, ylang ylang is really good for helping to calm anger. And there's, you know, various oils that are good for emotional issues. There's lots of oils that are good for emotional issues, and they will help you kind of work through that, because it's important to feel the emotion. You know, you hear the old saying, you need to feel it to heal it. But using the plants as our allies is a good way to do that. I mean, the way I see it, we co-evolved with the plants. They're here to help us, right? Whether it's with nutrition or medicines or whatever. So we use these plant allies to help us to relax, to help us to deal with pain, to deal with, you know, memories. And yeah, it's just so versatile and just so, and there's so many different essential oils that there is bound to be something that will work. Now, in some cases, you know, aromatherapy is not for everyone. And I'll say that, and there's, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people who won't like me saying that, but there are some people who simply don't, you know, aromatherapy isn't for them, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's totally okay.
Yeah. I like that you said plant are our allies. I mean, really, isn't most of our medicines ultimately come from like the rainforest, or that's where the roots of it began? I mean, there's so many healing properties that they have.
Yep. Yeah, most things. And even think of everyday products. Think of Vicks Vapor Rub, for example. Yes. Vicks Vapor Rub is, you know, there's eucalyptus, there's camphor, there's menthol. Think of even aspirin comes from the bark of a willow tree, right? Salicylic acid. So everything has some sort of origin in the plant world.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have a large knowledge of plants. I mean, you have tons of plants that you grow in your own yard. You have an amazing garden every year. I don't even know how you keep up on all the stuff that you grow and be able to, you know, use it for your family. When people come to you and they say, I would like to try aromatherapy, you already referred to one step that you do this big discovery process. Then what does aromatherapy look like? Is it you kind of prescribing they need an oil, or they need to diffuse it, or you give them options? Like, what does the process of working with you look like?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So what we do is we talk about first what they like and what they don't like, and what their issues are and best way to resolve them. Now, you can do things like, there's so many different things you can do. Maybe they have anxiety frequently when they're not at home. So we can make something like a personal inhaler. It's, remember those little Vicks inhalers?
Yeah, just the little love thing. Those.
Oh, yeah. So I can make oils, a blend of oils, and put it in one of those inhalers for somebody to keep in their pocket. So, you know, you can take it around and sniff it when you need it. Maybe you're anxious at the dentist. You know, somebody says, oh, I have really bad anxiety when I go to the dentist. So we figure out what oils work for them to calm their anxiety and make them a personal inhaler that they can keep with them. Maybe somebody's having trouble sleeping. So we make a blend that's like a personal diffuser or a diffuser blend specifically for them. Like everything is just tailored to that individual. You know, no two people are alike. And that's, you know, that's the exciting part of this. But so for sleep, you could make a blend and, You know, I find sometimes that the diffuser is just too strong. You're just putting too much into the air. People always run them for too long. You really only need to run it for 30 minutes and then turn it off for an hour or so.
Oh, really?
And then you can run it again.
But what about nighttime? Sometimes, like, if you want to diffuse something at night, because my daughter loves that, or she used to love that kind of stuff, and she it would be running all night, though. So is it something you better to fill your room for 30 minutes and then shut it off before you go to bed?
It is, yeah. Or have it on if your diffuser has an intermittent type setting, so it'll run for a bit and then shut off. Like when I had COVID, I had my diffuser set and I had oils that would help me to breathe, and I had it set so it would run for 15 minutes and then it would be off for like an hour, and then it would run again during the night, because otherwise I'd need to get up in the night because I couldn't breathe. So yeah, you can, it's best to have it intermittent. It's not good to have to expose yourself to those constantly like that. Another thing too, I make these little clay beads, and you can make them yourself with the air dry clay if if anybody wants to. And I just put them in a little dish beside my bed, and I'll put the oils on, and it's more of a passive diffusion. So it just kind of, it's there, but it's not blowing into your face or all out into the room. So I find that's actually good for sleep, having the more subtle aroma.
Next to your, like on your bedside table or something.
On your bedside table.
Yeah.
And just say, okay, somebody's an athlete and they get leg cramps frequently. I can make, for them, I would probably make a balm or a butter or something that they could put on their skin. So the essential oils are lipophilic, meaning they like lipids, they like fats. So they will penetrate your skin because there's some lipids in your skin, and they will get down and get into the bloodstream and help work with the pain. So you can use things kind of locally. So if you have a pain in your back or a pain in your leg, or you can use maybe somebody's having some skin issues, there's oils that are healing for your skin, and we could mix them into a lotion. Or I could make a body butter specific for you with, you know, the various oils and butters that I have, and then put in the oils that, you know, they have to appeal to you, but they also have to do the job. So there's some that are really, really good for pain. There's some that are really good for anxiety. There's some, I mean, you name it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what you're demonstrating is how specific it is and the knowledge you have around that. You know, you may need a balm to put on a muscle versus you may need to diffuse something if you're trying to relax and go to sleep. And so it's really considering all those factors, and you have the knowledge to help people to reach the goal that they're looking for. So that's awesome.
Another thing to remember too is, you know, people say, oh, it's, you know, you've heard this, and, you know, this is what I was told too, and, oh, it's natural, so it's safe. And, you know, poison ivy's natural. Are you going to go roll around in it?
Yeah.
Right? So it's, you know, so we have to also take into account people's health conditions and medicine. And, you know, some people think, oh, well, why are you asking so many questions? Well, I don't want to make it worse, and I don't want to make you sick. If somebody has, say, epilepsy and they don't tell me, and I give them something with an oil in it that triggers seizures, well, that's not going to help them, right? There are some medications like blood pressure medication or antidepressants that certain essential oils will interact with, and you don't want that to happen either. So it's important to realize that when you're using aromatherapy, when you're using essential oils, whether you've seen if you haven't seen an aromatherapist, just kind of, you know, be careful and ask the questions.
Yeah, I guess that's the important of knowing that the person you're going to is licensed and has, you know, knowledge about that. I think it also helps that your own vast knowledge that you have, the degrees that you have, where you really know that connection to nature. You know it even deeper, I feel, and can be a really good resource for people who enjoy aromatherapy or feel like that could be an outlet for them, which I think is really important.
Yeah, and I think that's it too. I think it's the whole thing that attracts me to aromatherapy is that connection to nature. And we have such a huge disconnect to nature these days. You know, people are in cities and office buildings, and, you know, I'd love to bring nature to them. You know, people, the people in the concrete jungle, if you will, you know, maybe have some blends for them. Maybe they just need to feel that connection so they can come to me and I can make them something that's reminiscent of a hike in the woods or going through a meadow of flowers, and something that can maybe they can sit back in their office and take a whiff of an inhaler or put a rollerball with that aroma on it on their wrists or on their palms and smell it. And just kind of reconnect and rejuvenate again. So,
And these oils that you're not part of a multi-level marketing.
No, not anymore.
How would you describe the oils, or where do they come from? How do you get your hands on them?
Oh, for me?
Yeah.
There's several places, actually. There's several reputable companies, even in Canada. There's some in Quebec, and there are some out in Alberta.
So this is where the quality would be kind of certified or you recognize stuff that you're comfortable using.
Yes, exactly. Now, you know, having said that, the oils from those companies, from the network marketing companies, aren't all bad. You know, there's nothing bad about them. In fact, I think one of them is now giving – it's important that they're – transparent, and they're showing their GCMS reports. It's called gas chromatography mass spectrometry, and that's showing the components of the essential oil. So each essential oil can have, you know, upwards of 200 different chemical constituents in it, and it's important to know what's in there because, for example, the environment can change the composition of the oil. The location can change the composition of the oil, so where it was grown. So an oil grown in India versus an oil grown in Morocco or something can be different simply because of the different environment. Or maybe that essential oil that is, or that plant that's grown in India, maybe they had a drought, or maybe it was a super wet year. That's also going to change the composition. So as an aromatherapist, I'm going to look at that GCMS report and say, okay, this one has this much of this constituent in it. This is the constituent I need to help this person with, say, respiratory issues or pain. This one has enough, so I can use that in the blend. And I can look at another one and say, wow, so this one's different. It's the exact same essential oil, but it may vary in the constituents. So it's important to know that when you're making blends for people. Mm-hmm. So I go to places where I can vary, even if they don't have them on their webpage, I can email them and they'll send me the report. So, I mean, there's so many of them here in Canada. There's Elixir and Divine Essence. What's the one in Alberta? I can't remember. Ray Dunphy is another good one. And the thing is, too, when you're buying from these companies, a lot of the times they're even less expensive than the ones from the network marketing. So if you're buying them yourself, they're less expensive and you don't have to buy a certain amount a month and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But again, having said that, if you like the oils from those companies, you know, then by all means, keep using them. There's nothing wrong with that.
Hmm. You talked about your connection to nature. You know, you have a large passion for that. And I love that you say that it really, the nature has led you on several different paths. I mean, you certainly have great interest in being a plant-based chef. And if you've done all that, you're doing aromatherapy. How do you see as all those connections in your past, you know, taking your biology and geology, how does this all relate for you for your soul's purpose?
Oh, it's interesting. I really think I need to feel connected to the planet. And I've always been interested in plants and rocks and stuff from the time I was a little kid. And, you know, most little kids probably are, but I did my biology degree and it was just, you know, it was just great. I worked for a professor who was the botanist and helped put together the herbarium. So it was hiking in nature and identifying plants and pressing them so other people could learn from them. It was photography in nature for one summer job I had during my my undergraduate degree. And, you know, just connecting to those plants was something that it just brings me so much joy. It's just something that is, it's so indescribable. And then with in my master's, I was looking at fungi. So the connection between the fungi that live inside the plants, which is interesting now because I'm reading papers on how those fungi may contribute to the essential oil production of the plants. So there's even a connection there. And then, you know, going into geology and looking at the connection, I started out looking at the connection between algae and rocks. So it was a particular type of algae that was, you know, building the rocks. So it was that connection to kind of the substrate that the plants grow on. And even now with the gardening, getting my hands in the soil, it's just, it really, my soul is happy when I'm doing that. I'm happiest when I'm in nature and working with plants.
How has all of that working with plants, you know, obviously now with aromatherapy, how does it impact you spiritually? You and I chat about that stuff a lot. What is that spiritual impact? Has it opened you up in a certain way? What has it done for you?
It's funny, if I'm feeling stuck or I'm feeling down, or, you know, I go out and in my bare feet on the ground and connect with nature, or I'll take a smell of one of my favorite essential oils and I'll just, you know, be brought to a good place. It's just that connection. I feel like I have to have that connection to earth. You know, it's my, I feel like it's my, I don't know.
Yeah.
My soul's purpose to help people using, you know, to find that connection to nature as well, so they can feel as good as I do.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes total sense.
I'm not sure if that answered that question.
Yeah. It's when we have our passions, we love to share them, right?
That's exactly it.
And if it's helped us in some way, and then for anyone that it resonates with, you know, maybe it can help them too.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Are there any misconceptions or myths around aromatherapy, do you think, that people have? Like, do people think it's one thing, but it's actually another?
Well, I think people think it's just all about smell and it's all essential, you know, just essential oils. And there's a little bit more to it than that. Kind of as we talked about, you can use it for things that I can make blends for people that really don't have much of an aroma because that's not their purpose. You know, the purpose of that blend might be for muscle pain, and maybe they don't need the aromatic part to help lift their spirit or make them feel better. Maybe they just have a muscle ache, you know. And some of the misconceptions, it's woo-woo and there's no science behind it. And it's not true, and it's unfortunate that there isn't more science, but there's whole journals on aromatherapy. There's nurses who use aromatherapy in their practices that have written books on it. There's, you know, articles in botany journals and in medical journals and everything that supports the use of aromatherapy. Now, you know, some of the articles aren't very good, but there's many that are too. So Science is coming along. Mm. It's, I guess if there's no funding for the research, it doesn't get done. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there has to be funding for people to do research on this. And if there's no funding available, then people aren't doing the research. So hopefully that will change.
Maybe it'll be you.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe it'll be you. Yeah, that'd be great.
Another thing too, we talked about this, you know, it's natural, so it's safe, but that's not necessarily the case. You know, another misconception is aromatherapy is for everyone. Well, you know, I've actually turned people away because I felt that aromatherapy could actually make their condition worse. So I would recommend that they go see another type of practitioner. Mm. Trying to think of another one here. Here's one. Not everyone has bad reactions, so it's okay. And, you know, for things, I'm thinking of things like putting, essential oils on your skin without diluting them and
oh, yeah.
mixing them in water. You know, I've heard of people have severe gastroesophageal reflux problems for months because they put peppermint oil in their water. Right. Oil doesn't mix with water. It floats on the top. So it's, you know, you can have...
It's not being diluted.
Right. You can have some safety issues. And using oils on your skin. Now, there's some oils that an aromatherapist will use neat on your skin. Neat meaning, you know, without diluting them for certain things. But you can... I've got sensitization to some oils because before I learned, I was using some neat on my skin and now I get a rash. I get, you know, severe eczema when I use them. So using, you've got to dilute them. It's all in the name of safety.
Yes, yes. Well, I think you're right. You said, you know, just because it's natural, we think something is safe, and that's not necessarily the correlation.
No, there's some essential oils that are on the market that most, you know, most of us wouldn't touch, wouldn't use, that are not safe. You know, I don't know why they're even on the market, but, you know, they're not common, but there's, you know, many oils that
kind of need to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
With these things. Well, helpful. I've known people to burn themselves by putting it on directly or being in the sun.
Yeah.
You know, is it with citrus, things like that. So
it
stuff
is.
That you do have to have precautions around because it's not just
exactly.
natural and easy.
Cold press citrus. So you're now sweet orange is okay, but there's other citrus oils that when you put them on your skin, I don't recommend using any of them neat anyway, but even diluted and you go out in the sun, there's a component in them called furanocoumarins, and that causes that reaction with the sun and you get severe burns. Mm. I mean, there's many reports of this happening and it's simply people don't know. You know, they think, oh, it's safe, it's natural, I'm just going to slather it on my skin, and they don't realize what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, knowledge is power in this case, for sure.
It is, it is.
If people are interested in working with you and trying out aromatherapy, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Well, they can send me an email, and it is Fawn, F-A-W-N, at... Last Drop Essentials, LastDropEssentials, at lastdropessentials.com. Sorry, I was thinking of the Gmail one.
Yeah.
I also have an Instagram and a Facebook account, and it's Last Drop Essentials. On Instagram, it's last_drop_essentials, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, an email is good. My website is, under construction, but they can also, fill in to get, my newsletter. So that is lastdropessentials.com and, okay. They can just, fill in their name and email and they'll start getting my newsletter when I get it going.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Stay in the loop. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you wanted to say about aromatherapy that I haven't asked you about? Any last thoughts around things people should know?
I think one thing is sustainability. You know, we hear that word a lot. I see so many people using large amounts of these plants. So to put it in perspective, let's say rose oil, for example. Rose essential oil is really expensive, but it takes close to 70 rose blooms to make one drop of essential oil. So, you know, how many dozen roses does it take to get one drop? And it's the same thing. There's other plants that are threatened, and we need to just use our oils more sustainably. In a lot of cases, a little bit goes a long way. I see recipes for blends that have way, way too much. And it's more than just a safety issue. It's a sustainability issue. These, you know, we want to look after the environment. We want to make sure these plants are around for a long time. So let's use our oils a little bit more sustainably.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. That is a very trendy word, and it's an important one. And that's what I love. You know the... you know everything about the plants. You know, you consider all pieces because you're concerned about the earth, you're concerned about people, and you find a way to marry the two. And aromatherapy seems to be the new path that you can help people. And it seems like it feels like it's bring everything together for you.
It has. It really has. It's funny going back and forth between the cooking and the aromatherapy. And I kept being drawn back to aromatherapy. And, you know, I'll still help people with with their plant-based cooking if they ask. But this is something where I really think I can help a lot of people. And especially with trauma.
Yeah, you know, that's your passion piece.
That's my passion there because it helped me so much.
Yeah.
That I want to be able to help other people with it as well.
Well, thank you for joining me in conversation again today, Fawn. I really enjoyed this conversation. I feel like I'm walking away knowing more about it, even though you and I are always texting about it. And I'll have a question. I'm like, what's this about? I feel like I'm walking away with more knowledge. So I'm sure people listening today are as well. So thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you for having me on again, Dana.
That was such a great conversation. If you loved it too, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Please go to iTunes to rate and review this podcast. And if you want to continue the conversation, connect with Soul Sister Conversations on the Facebook and Instagram pages. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at Dana Lloyd Leadership, on Twitter at Coach Dana_Lloyd, and of course on LinkedIn. See you next week.